This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Sell time. Michael, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
No, it didn't sound very excited, but we'll give it a go here.
Yeah.
All right, buy or sell. It's bye week, so we can do this kind of thing. We're not preparing for Washington just yet, Michael. It's been a very good season for Denver, especially on the defensive side of the ball, which means you have a lot of dudes that are balling out. A lot of guys that are just really, really freaking good. Now, you got deals done. You got your Zach Allens taken care of, and Nick Bonito was the big signing over the offseason. You got Patrick Surtain done. Good deals, right? Glad we got that taken care of. In order to keep a world-class defense, what do you got to do, Mike? You got to keep those guys together.
Money.
So, Denver, according to, Spot Rack? It's SpotRack.com. In 2026, they're going to have a little over $61 million in cap space. All that $40 million or whatever it is $40 million plus comes off the books from the Russell Wilson deal, finally. So there's going to be money, and this isn't science because there's dead cap money to talk about, but we're just having fun with this argument today. $61 million in cap space. So here's my question, Mike, my buyer sells. Because you can't have them all, and we're going to look at let's look at the offensive side first. You tell me if any of these guys are buy or sell, meaning make them a priority to sign, knowing that it's going to take money away from potential free agents. You got to have rookie contracts signed, all that stuff. Okay, you ready? Adam Trautman, Mr. Dragon Slayer 69.
Sell.
Sell.
He's just not enough.
J.K. Dobbins.
Bye.
Michael
Even
Burton.
Even though he's in an injury.
Right. You still buy it.
You'll get him for a deal.
Do you waste time with him, or do you try to go get a different running back?
If you're going to get a different running back, I don't know. I don't know. He's done well for the Broncos. I think you can get a better deal with him.
I'm with you. I'd buy that. Michael Burton, fullback.
I liked his work this year. I don't know. I think you could probably double up a tight end.
Well, they were kind of going to do that with Lucas Kroll, but they've had injuries. So Lucas Kroll, tight end, who might be able to play some of that tweener position.
I'd buy.
You buy that. Luke Wattenberg, center.
Oh, you have to ask this on the day I'm wearing my purple.
So you would buy that? Is that what you're telling me?
I would sell because he is the weakness of the offensive line, I think.
So you think you can go elsewhere?
If they need a center, if there's anyone on the offensive
line,
but
it's been a good offensive,
get a better center.
It's been a good offensive line overall, though. Do you want to risk breaking that up?
I think he's been improving.
All right.
But there still is some criticism of him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's bad. But
he's not priority.
I think there's better out there.
Alex Palcheski, who's been stepping in for a lot of guys that have been hurt, you know, Ben Powers, who you'll have under contract.
Oh, you need him. Yeah.
So
I like him.
Alex Palcheski, somewhat of a you're going to get him for nothing.
Yeah.
So
unless another team's like, we need him.
Jaleel McLaughlin.
Sell.
Done with the Jaleel McLaughlin experiment.
See, I like him, but as far as other, we need.
But you're assuming RJ
needs. We have other needs.
Aren't you assuming RJ Harvey's going to work out?
I think Harvey will work out
over Jaleel. Okay. Nate Atkins, another tight end.
So
you're done with Adam Trautman and Nate Atkins. Did you say Lucas Kroll? Did you say sell on that?
I would, you're
gonna have to have bodies.
Can do more.
Okay.
I think they're gonna have to go draft.
Tyler Bidet. Who we haven't really seen much of. But I like the guy.
I like him too. I like them both so damn much.
We don't see him. All right.
Making this hard, damn it.
So
I didn't want to think
priorities. I would say J.K. Dobbins would be your number one priority on the offensive side. I would tend to agree. Can you get Luke Wattenberg for a decent deal? And then Alex Pelcheski you're going to get for a pretty good deal. Not a steal. It's going to be an easy signing. Although he has earned
offensively.
It.
Offensively, these guys are all going to be a deal.
Yeah. Palcheski's making a name for himself, though, where maybe he could sign a starting contract, a contract with somebody else to get like a starting job. Because this offensive line hasn't really skipped a big beat, have they?
I mean, yeah. So he's the only one who would be expensive.
Probably. He's probably playing himself into a little more expensive contract defensively.
But you want that versatile guy.
So you've got. I would say we've got probably between the two of us here one major priority, and that's J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah.
Even with injuries.
One secondary priority.
Okay. I'm with you on that. That's good because you're going to need that money defensively. How about this first, special teams, Will Lutz?
Yes, he's been doing well for the Broncos.
So we're saying he's a kicker, so you know, kicker. Yeah. Defensively, here we go. John Franklin Myers.
I mean, how many defensive players are we? Because I would have to. Can you just
you want me
list
to go
them
from
and
the,
I rank them?
You want me to go. Of this list?
Yeah.
John Franklin Myers, Alex Singleton, Malcolm Roach, PJ Locke, Justin Sternad, Jaquan McMillan, Dondre Tillman, who leads the team in interceptions, by the way.
Okay, so I would go. I wish I had that list in front of me.
I can read it again.
Jaquan
I got
McMillan
you.
Would be second.
Okay, so John Franklin Myers.
He would be first.
First, Alex Singleton. Malcolm Roach.
He might be third, fourth. Who else do we have on there again?
Of the big one. Okay, DeAndre Tillman's on this list, who's played well. Obviously had the two interceptions. John Franklin Myers, Alex Singleton, Malcolm Roach, Justin Sternad, Jaquan McMillan. There's like seven other guys on this list, but those would be the guys. But you can't have them all.
Yeah,
you're not getting them all. You're probably getting two.
I mean, I've always liked PJ Locke, but I don't know if you want to lock him up for a lot of money.
Too easy. So pick two. Offense was easy.
Like I just said, Franklin Myers and
over Singleton? Over Singleton?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know, like, I really
that's
a
heartbeat of your team now, especially with what he's going through. That's a leader right there.
He's a leader, but I think we could.
But you're also.
I think we can get better.
So you're going to make Jaquan McMillan a priority, who's probably going to be your dime guy, though. Because if Jahdae Barron is as good as you think he's going to be, he's your nickel guy. So he's your third best corner. You're going to make a fourth corner a priority over Alex Singleton? You think we can get better at middle linebacker?
I think you can.
Well, if you get I would say like that should be a priority in the draft too. Now
I don't know what kind of draft this is. I haven't paid it as much attention. If you are strong linebacker-wise in the draft, then I say go linebacker. If it's a weak linebacker draft and a strong defensive back draft, then maybe go there. If you've got studs up front, then maybe say, sorry, John Franklin Myers, we're going to go to the draft and hope that works out.
Oof. Offense was easy. J.K. Dobbins, the rest, you're kind of like okay with if we don't re-sign them, right?
I mean, I like them all, but look, the tight ends that we have right now, it's a weak position.
It's a very weak position.
You might as well just
reload because it hasn't been. I mean, they're good at blocking, I guess.
And that's what you want, but you also want someone who's a threat. Right now, we don't have that threat.
How many, like on average, with 61 million, without getting crazy mathematically here?
Math hurt brain.
Probably only can get about two or three of these guys on each side of the ball.
Unless, like, unless they love the culture so much, they're willing to take a pay cut.
Well, I think all the tight ends on this roster would be willing
NFL,
to take a pay cut.
They want to do that.
I think all the tight ends would be willing to do that. You hear the way Troutman talks about Bo Nix.
Oh, if he's willing to do that, then I'll keep him. I love a blocking tight end.
All right, so if we're saying two, see, Justin Cernad's another one, Mike. He's played well.
You're making my brain hurt, Brady, and I don't like it.
Well, it's fun. I mean, if you're thinking just kind of like on average salaries and stuff of what some of these guys are going to make. I mean, the high end average salary, high average market value for an interior defensive lineman is $3.4 million, and this is average. We're not talking big money here. For cornerback, it's about $3 million average salary. So you whittle that down pretty quickly if you start breaking into this. Like $61 million, keep in mind you're going to have to keep some of that because Bo Nix is going to come up on his third year, and you want to be careful. You don't want to get too crazy with long-term deals because you're going to be in a decision-making process after year three of Bo Nix. But if you're talking 61 mil, and let's say John Franklin Myers is what? A $6 million guy? You know, would you say? Alex Singleton, probably around there? I mean, the number goes down pretty fast. I would say the priority, number one priority, that's tough because I like Franklin Myers, Singleton, Justin Cernad, Jaquan McMillan. Those are your four. You can't get all four. You're probably going to be happy with two.
Right now, here's an argument for John Franklin Myers. You are getting sacks. That's what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting interceptions. Now, a lot of those sacks are coverage sacks, but you're still getting sacks.
Are a lot of those sacks because they're paying so much attention to Nick Benito and Jonathan Cooper?
Yeah, and you still have those coverage sacks. But you are getting results from the defensive line. You aren't getting as many results from the defensive backfield. So you ask yourself a question, okay, can we get another person who can, you know, play the ball rather mm-hmm. than knock the ball down, like actually get his hands on the ball and intercept it?
We still got 6 weeks to go, so that's obviously going to play a big role. And if somebody shines in the playoffs, that's a big thing too. Man, it's hard for me to want. I just said we're not this. We don't say anything bad about Alex Singleton anymore. That's a new whole show rule. If he has a bad game, it's somebody else's fault. It's probably Micah's fault.
It's never my fault. You know how much they respect me down there.
Oh yeah. Justin Cernad though is finally starting to kind of ball out for this team. So I like one of those guys, Singleton or Cernad. He's been kind of a heartbeat of your defense, though, Singleton, especially now. The obvious answer, though, if you could pick two, is John Franklin Myers and Jaquan McMillan. That's where you're going. And I'm going there with you. Knowing you're... Because that's the thing.
Copycat.
Well, it's hard for me not to put Singleton in there. It's hard for me not to put Cernad in there.
I mean, you want to. You love all these
guys. And you could
guys.
Still get Malcolm Roach. He's a backup guy. Is he going to go be a starter somewhere else? You could still get... We're just talking priorities. Because you want to be able to have money to make some kind of free agency move. And we'll get into some of that later on, too. Probably tomorrow. Because we don't have a Broncos game to preview. Because I'm curious to see what the free agent market looks like for middle linebacker. I'm curious to see what the free agent market still looks like for tight end. Running back, and then you have to glance at, you know, defensive line if you are willing to move on from John Franklin Myers or even D'Andre Tillman. It's fascinating. 17 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Michael, Brian Gary has been just absolutely lighting up the stage with these Thursday night specials. We got to deliver. Everybody knows I'm the star of the show, but we got to deliver on these because Brian's putting in blood, sweat, and tears each and every Thursday, producing these Thursday night intros. And we got to deliver, man. I got to get back to 500. This is a big game tonight. It's a big game for the playoff picture, but it's an even bigger game for Mr. Thursday night.
I actually think hooligans are betting
against me
whether you will win these games or not.
I think they're going against me, and they lost a lot of money last week because they went against me.
No, I mean they're betting not like on Sportsbook, like betting with each other. Like, is Brady going to have a winning record?
Is he going to have a winning record? Yeah, because we're getting down to it, man. We need to make a push here, and we're going to. Very confident in what we have coming up. So, Mike, without further ado, let's get to it. 18 minutes after the hour. Thursday night special makes his triumphant return. We covered last week. We feel very good about that. We're going to use that momentum. This is a game of momentum, Mike. It's a game of runs sometimes, too. And it's time for that to start shifting in a positive favor for Mr. Thursday night. We'll be right back.
To the pros, we have your football on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Brady jumps out of bed and he rolls out of Timnet, thinking about the day he'll have to contend with, like figuring out who will win the game tonight. Just thinking about the game and his blood starts a pumping. All the hooligans are ready to jump in with folks like me waiting on his pick tonight. Mr. Thursday Night picks one game and makes a living. Who will win tonight and keep the coach from getting livid? Josh Allen runs right by, throws the ball just like a missile. The Texans' blood starts to boil, starts to sizzle. Yeah, Thursday night, go and get some chicken fingers and some nachos too. They make bad air that tends to linger. And the other games we all know are picked on Friday, but it's Thursday night and it's time to bring home Brady.
Every week I say the same thing. Like, that was the one. That was the best one.
That was the best one.
That was really freaking good. I don't live in Timnath, by the way, but I'm not going to dare tell Brian Gary that. I used to. But it did work for the song. It wouldn't work to say Fort Collins.
Fuck Timnath, Fort Collins area.
Same thing. Yeah, right. Okay. I just called a hot route here. Audible. I had my pick. And I know Michael was too busy, air quotes, busy this week, to actually get my production for this. So it gave me some flexibility here. I made a pick to Michael earlier. I've got a weird feeling now. It's bizarre. The clouds are all over the place, but I'm seeing things differently. I mean, the Bills are a 5.5-point favorite, according to DraftKings. Micah, that means they need to win by 6 or more to cover.
Or the rare half point field.
It's the hook, as they call it. That's what saved me last week. Ah, boy. Where are you going? Do you like the Bills to win by more than 6? Like, do you like the Bills to win by 6?
I like the Bills to accidentally win.
They accidentally win? The Bills are favored. So
yeah, well there's gonna be a lot of Josh Allen's gonna play terribly. He's gonna play terribly and then somehow they're gonna win.
Okay. That's interesting. Interesting development here. Dalton Kincaid has been ruled out and will miss his second straight game. Curtis Samuel is out. The Texans are without CJ Stroud, but you know, Mills hasn't been that bad. He hasn't been awful. But, oh boy. I'm having a hard time here. I mean, this is a Houston Texans defense. It's just really freaking good. They're number one overall. Number three against the pass. Number three against the run. Number one in scoring. Their offense is overall 19th. Not bad considering they've got a backup quarterback in. Davis Mills getting his third straight start with C.J. Stroud recovering from a concussion. He's had ups and downs in his first two starts since 2022. He's made some plays down the stretch. Now you're good. I'm switching my pick here. You're good, right?
Going with Dallas, right?
No, it's for the games tonight.
The picks are tomorrow.
The picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. This is Thursday, and we're making a pick. But I'm making a switch. What I text you is not reality, Micah. What I text you earlier this morning is not reality. What is reality is I'm taking the Houston Texans to win tonight. Look at you go. Always ready.
Well, Houston.
Always ready, Michael.
Houston means that I'm
A-R-M. Always ready, Michael. You have impressed me, my young lad. That was impressive.
I think I'm older than you.
Yes, you are, but today your youth shines through in a brilliant, beautiful light.
My maturity certainly is youthful.
It is very youthful. You have a youthful way about you that makes me smile and it makes me happy. I am switching on this. I fully text Michael this morning and I said, give me the Bills -5.5. I do not trust Josh Allen by himself against this Houston Texans defense. I think the Texans get it done tonight. Is that? I could have just taken the points, Mike. I could have just taken the points and played it safely, but I'm not going to. Bills' offense overall is really freaking good. I do think so, but they, Dalton Kincaid's a big part of that. Defensively, they're not great against the run. I just have a weird feeling anything can happen on Thursday night. Josh Allen's going to Wyoming this weekend. He's got his big homecoming thing there. They're going to be honoring him. That's going to be distracting him and all that stuff, man. I'm going with the Houston Texans to win tonight. I like them to win.
Well, I'm going to go the opposite because I think that the Bills are going to accidentally win. It's going to be a defensive struggle. It's just going to be a very crappy game unless you like defense. Josh Allen throwing like four picks.
It's going to be a bad night for Josh Allen. It's going to be a bad night for Josh Allen. The Houston Texans defense is really freaking good. They're going to do it tonight, Kevin Lytle. Kevin Lytle's out there. He sees it. The Texans are winning tonight, right? They're beating the Bills. Kevin can agree.
I think Kevin gave me a thumbs up.
Kevin's not going to go with a former Wyoming Cowboy to win tonight. He's not. He can't do that. yeah. We switched it at the last second, and you were ready, Mike. A-R-M. That's your new thing. A-R-M. Always ready, Michael. Always ready, Michael. 31 minutes after the hour. Kevin Lytle joining us next from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Let's talk some CSU basketball. Also, does Kevin have any breaking news? Do we know who the next head coach is going to be? Maybe we do. Maybe we don't. We'll find out. Probably not, but we'll know soon enough. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
36 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Wow, that was the first time in Thursday Night Special history, Kevin, that I have switched in the middle of the segment.
Oh, really? Yeah. So I watched history?
You just witnessed.
I wasn't paying much attention. I was on my phone.
But you were right outside there.
Yeah, I was here.
Yeah, you were
present. I was
present
for history.
What will you tell your family 20 years from now? You know, you're going to be able to
so
say,
overwhelming,
hey.
I probably just won't mention it at all.
I did ask you, you caught up with Brandon Recksteiner yesterday.
Yeah.
My first question to you was, did he say anything about his dad coming on the whole show? Did that come up or anything like that?
I think they're just trying to keep on the down low on their plans for that. Yeah. So he just kept it quiet.
That's fair. I mean, it's a pretty big deal and you don't want.
Yeah, there were several media members there. I don't think he wanted to leak any big news or anything like that.
When do you expect to see, you know, Big Papa Pump?
That's a great question. If I were a real journalist, I maybe would have asked that. Did not. I did ask about his family. So we're like hybrid joking real here. I did talk to Brandon and Rexstar. That's real. I am writing a feature on him ahead of, super coincidentally, a game against Virginia Tech, which he used to play at.
Yeah.
Crazy how that timing happens. That's not coincidence. That's on purpose. Did talk about his family and growing up in that household. So it was pretty fun. It was a great chat with Brandon. So I'm excited to write that feature. That'll be coming early next week ahead of, the game against Virginia Tech in the Bahamas. I guess I will circle back on if Big Papa Pump's going to be at Moby Arena anytime.
At some point,
maybe
be there.
What if, Brady, this is just pop in my head, which is like great ideas just come up randomly. He comes in during the CU game,
yes.
You get him on the Jumbotron, getting the crowd going crazy.
That would be amazing. Do you know anything?
No, that's 100%. Like, literally right now, that's the first time I've ever had that thought.
It would be amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
I would be like, that would be dream come true.
Yes.
But then you'd have to keep him from,
CCCSU athletics.
Wrestling and beating people up and stuff. You'd be careful with that. Yeah, it's Buffs fans. Who cares?
Yeah. So we'll see. But
Brandon Recksteiner, like, that's what, after basketball's done, that's what he wants to do, right?
He said that. Down the road, that's definitely a possibility. And, super athletic family. His brother plays football at Jacksonville State, I believe, as a receiver, tight end, big dude.
It is
a lot of competition in the family.
Is there a lot of basketball players in that family, or is he the only one?
Well, his only sibling is his brother, who's a football player. So that's not, obviously, dad and uncle are not basketball players.
Yeah.
So I don't know of any bloodlines in basketball, at least at a high level. I mean, probably at youth levels or whatever. But
it's
kind of cool, just like the differing paths. Because, we see a lot of families that, they're all baseball players. They're all basketball players. They're all football players, whatever it is. This is a pretty spread out group.
Well, football would have made total sense because a lot of football players actually do go on to do the professional wrestling thing.
The Rock,
Goldberg.
Yeah, I don't want to just throw all my encyclopedic wrestling knowledge at you, but The Rock.
The Rock's one of the big ones, but Scott Steiner, man, that's why it's like I'm watching Brandon practice yesterday, and he just takes a nice little three, and I'm thinking, never would have pegged seeing Scott Steiner and Rick Steiner all those years as one of their kids is going to go on and be a Division I stud basketball player.
And it was interesting I just kind of asked Ali generally, like, obviously he has an interesting family background. Do you see that play out in his personality on or off the court? And he said, yeah, it's kind of interesting. He's got showman in him as a player. He said, so it's a balance. If you want him to be him, and some of that is, and I've kind of said this on a show, like, he plays with some swagger, some, cojones.
Yeah.
You want that. You don't want to restrain that, but obviously it has to be within the system. And as a point guard, a lot of that means, spreading the ball around, spreading the love around. So it's a kind of a balance of be the facilitator, but roll with some of that swag that you've got too. So it's actually really interesting. It is obviously just a fun thing to discuss, but it's also really interesting how it's kind of playing out.
Yeah, it is. And they've got this game coming up tomorrow night against EU. They've got, as you mentioned, Virginia Tech. That's an interesting game, too. I mean, Virginia Tech is pretty good right now, right? Aren't they undefeated?
That's going to be a pretty – the metrics are pretty similar as far as, like, KenPom and stuff like that. That's going to be a big one as far as, like, if we're looking ahead of, does a resume matter for this team, which the early signs are that it could. That's a big game. And it's big because it's part of that tournament in the Bahamas. It sets you up for other matchups. Like if CSU were to beat Virginia Tech, the most likely next game would be St. Mary's, who's looking really, really good. So those MTEs, as they call them, tournaments, you got to win early to set up resume chances later on, basically.
How what are they? Could they potentially have, what, two or three games?
They'll play
in this?
Three. They're guaranteed to play three.
Guaranteed
it,
to play three.
It just depends on, you know, how you do, who you face. Off the top of my head, can't even remember all the teams there. But I do know it's Virginia Tech first, and if you win that, the most likely is St. Mary's second, which, like I say, would be a huge, huge opportunity.
What are the chances that by the time we get to December 6th, both CU and CSU are undefeated?
Probably not great.
This tournament might be tough.
Yeah, I think that honestly, CU's schedule, I don't know at all.
Yeah, I've got
to pull. So I can't comment on theirs, really.
I don't know if any of these are tournaments, but they've got
They probably
UC
have a tournament
Davis,
next week.
UC Davis, San Francisco, and Cal Baptist, at least, are on the regular schedule.
I would think they would beat those.
Yeah, I would think so.
But most teams play a tournament Thanksgiving week, so you know if that's part of a tournament. But yeah, for CSU, it'll be tough. And they don't have to be, like, if you... I think the goal would be 2-1 down in the Bahamas. Now, again, it depends on who you play, but if you go 2-1, you're leaving there still feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I'm just – we talk – you know, when we were talking about the border war and all that on the football side and how it's maybe lost its luster a little bit, suddenly this basketball game is looking like it could really be something that lives up to some of the hype.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it should be fun. You know, CU's looking pretty solid with some young guys. I wouldn't say they've been hugely tested either. You know, both teams have – not had, you know, super tough early schedules, but both, you know, look pretty good pretty early on. It's going to be a really fun game.
We did see yesterday that there was a coach hiring with Mr. Franklin, former Penn State coach. And of course,
I kept thinking that was all a smokescreen.
Yeah, I thought so too. Yeah. I mean, he was going to be. So I guess the next question is, like, it's not impossible that CSU will announce their next head coach before the season ends when we just saw it yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I still think most likely is after the regular season ends because there are only a few guys that are in that situation.
Right.
Obviously, he was unemployed, so, you know, you could sign a deal with him right now, whereas most candidates are employed somewhere. And so for a variety of reasons, you generally have to wait until the regular season ends. Now, we'll see coaches get hired, but, you know, before bowl games, stuff like that. But it's pretty rare that someone who's currently coaching somewhere, even if it's as an assistant, a deal is announced for them to go elsewhere before the regular season's done. Now, then you can get into complications of, is it a team that's playing for a conference title? Because then that can delay it by a week. The bowls won't. It'll get signed, sealed, delivered before a bowl. But a conference title game could play a role depending on who it is. But yeah, to announce now would have to be basically someone that's unemployed at the moment. Which
So does that almost take those guys, like the Gundys, and not that that was realistic or anything?
Yeah.
Does it
I mean,
put them
yeah,
out?
Like I say, I've always said that Gundy's a no-go. But yeah, I think most likely if that were going to happen, it would be happening, you know, now-ish. The most likely has always been a current college football coach, whether that's a head coach or an assistant coach. And I still think that's the case.
It seemed like Colin Klein's name was one that was popping up a lot the last couple of weeks. And when I say popping up, you see what fans are tweeting out, and then they're sharing stories, and then you see, oh, CBS Sports is linking this guy. This week, it seems like Tim Skipper, his name has been the one to kind of rise above a little bit.
Yeah, I think some folks got carried away by connecting some dots. Basically, a recruit who was committed to UCLA, which is where Tim Skipper is the interim, flipped to CSU. And so, understandably, you have people saying, like, oh, well, surely that, like, why would he do that? He obviously is following Skipper. I'm not saying it's not Tim Skipper. I don't know either way. But I also don't think that CSU's landed, I think, three different commits in this interim period. Like, they are recruiting. So a commit coming does not necessarily mean anything. I've heard some folks being like, well, you know, obviously these guys committee know who the head coach is going to be. No, I mean, I literally wrote a story about how the recruiting process is going. It's basically acting as normal. So now, does that mean it's not Tim Skipper? No, I'm not saying that either. He's obviously a guy that, for a lot of reasons, has been, you know, tied to as a potential candidate. But I also don't think that one commit. I'd be a little surprised if that one kid is the first and only person who knows that Tim Skipper has accepted the job. I feel like
if that were
the case, we would know more. So we'll see. Like I say, I'm definitely not saying it can't be Tim Skipper. But I don't think that news itself necessarily means it is Tim Skipper. If it were be Tim Skipper, I think most people would be pretty excited.
Yeah,
but,
I'd be good with that.
But now, obviously keep getting text calls, DMs, whatever. Like, who is it? It's like, I promise if I knew for certain, I would be sharing.
I asked Ryan yesterday at practice if there was going to be breaking news. I just looked over. He's standing right next to me. I said, have you guys hired your new coach yet? Or is that going to be a press conference?
Yeah.
Today? It said no, so apparently that checked out.
Yeah,
they
did not have that waiting. But yeah, it's getting close. My timeline, I still feel is accurate, which is kind of those first couple days of December.
Kevin, we got about a minute here. Do you follow Jay Norvell on X?
Yeah.
Do you what do you make of all these trips he's
been
making?
On a little tour, good for him.
Is it just for fun, or is he actually?
Both.
Are there
I think
conversations
both.
Going?
I
on?
Think it's both. Of you have a lot of friends in the coaching industry, so you're getting to see them, getting to learn their programs. And, yeah, probably some feelers of like, hey, who has a job out here that I might be able to take? But I think a lot of it is just you connect with friends in the industry and see what you can learn from their programs and, use that moving forward in your career.
Yeah, so he's going to be an honorary captain for Hawkeye football this weekend.
Yeah.
So good for Jay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the first fall vacation, if you want to call these vacation, that he's ever had maybe in his life.
Yeah, probably strange feeling for him, for sure.
Yeah, I would think so.
48 minutes after the hour, plenty more to come with Kevin. We've got Rams Weekly coming up at 2 o'clock. We'll wrap up the show with What Did We Learn? Coming up next, it's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
A complete rundown of all things high school football playoffs. Listen to the postseason special presented by Clearwater Products. A Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say?
What do we learn today? I got this from Faith earlier on the text line. She gave me the full synopsis in one sentence only for season 4 of Stranger Things. And I'm going to read that tonight because I got to get caught up. That's how I'm going to do it. I'm cheating here, Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin's excited, though. He's got something he learned.
Yeah, I
specifically
did.
For Michael.
Literally right before I walked in the studio here.
Yeah.
The Colorado Rapids, Micah's favorite team,
yes,
are hosting Lionel Messi and Inter Miami on my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
Are you going to go?
Well, we'll see that. We'll see. We'll see the price point on that.
See soccer. The price, but...
But I'm guessing they haven't said, but I'm guessing they'll move that to the Broncos Stadium to put 75K in there.
That'd be pretty sweet, man.
So, yeah, I know Micah's pumped about that.
Well, you guys could
I don't know what the Colorado Rapids...
You guys could carpool.
Yeah, true. Good point.
Is that a boating competition? Kayaking?
Yes, it's a boating competition. It's a kayaking competition that they're going to have at the Broncos Field. Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to do that.
It'd be interesting.
I'm guessing Messi's great at that because he's great at everything.
I would imagine
very
so.
Messy.
Michael, what did you learn
messy.
Today? Not that anyone cares.
I learned that, you and I agree a lot on who the Broncos should re-sign.
We do.
And we disagree on a lot of things that I'm right about.
We're very good at deciding how the Broncos should spend their money at the end of the season.
It's really easy to spend other people's money, isn't it?
Very simple.
Yeah.
And I think they would win Super Bowls if they would just listen to us more all the time.
Yeah.
Kevin, Rams Weekly coming up. My friend, I'm looking forward to it.
Indeed.
All right. This is the whole show powered by Chevron. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.